We've dealt with the fact that there are three basic principles in testing. We won't review those this morning, but that there are seven ways that God tests His children. I don't know about you, but I had a little blackboard in my mind, and I started checking this week, and all eight of the seven I had the opportunity to experience. I think the only thing worse than having to listen to something like this is having to teach it, because there seems to be somewhat of an extra measure of sensitivity or something. But anyhow, we realize that God, first of all, creates needs. He produces circumstances in our lives we can't cope with, so that we have to become dependent. And then He tests recent instructions. Boy, does He. And that's the reason we've had these little notes in the mail that said, please end series quick. And if we could read, we would heed that instruction, but we can't, and so we're going to plow on. The third thing God does, and this is what some of you have prayed for, He allows success or prosperity to test us. Fourthly, He allows choices. He gives you situations where you have to make decisions so that you can find the discernment of the Spirit. And then He gives you impossible tasks, or He allows you to undertake impossible undertakings. He lets you build your own ark. And then, of course, on occasions, He afflicts physically. And then lastly, He tests us at the point of our greatest allegiance, as He did with Abraham. He asked him to give up his fondest treasure. He does it in six ways, you remember, through tribulation, temptation, persecution, chastening, sufferings, and divine discipline. Now, there are 13 purposes in God's testing. He doesn't just do it as a game. He does it with a deep spiritual purpose. And those 13 purposes are, you recall, first of all, to develop the mind of Christ. So your thoughts, your attitudes, and your responses would be Christ's. So that the second and the third and the fourth time that same test comes into your life, your response ought to become more and more and more godly. The second thing He does it for is to surface our weaknesses. That is, you may have a problem with temper, jealousy, pride, whatever. And so God continues to put tests into your life so you'll wake up and realize, and so I'll wake up and realize we have weaknesses that need to be dealt with. The third reason He does it to us is to humble us. We learn that in Deuteronomy. He wants to bring us to a place of usability, and He has to bring us to a place of humility first. The fourth reason He does it is to advance the kingdom. There are other people who need Jesus Christ, and we need to be placed in a position to share Him with them. Then the fifth reason is to draw us to the Word. How many of you were in school used to look in the back of the math book to find the answers? Well, the only time you did that is when you knew the questions. And sometimes we have to look into the book to find the answers, and God has to raise questions in order to create a need in our lives to do this. Then last week, we dealt with the sixth reason that God tests His children, and that is to enlarge our vision of God. And we took a look at Job last week and recognized that at the outset, Job had a godly response to testing. He said, Lord, though You slay me, yet I'll trust You. And he went on, he said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a beautiful, I don't suppose that any of us had that beautiful response to testing this week. But that was not the end of his test, it was the beginning. Because beneath the surface, there were needs in Job's life that those responses did not indicate. And so the test went deeper, and Job became hurt. And then his hurt turned to bitterness. He began to curse the day he was born. And then his bitterness turned to hostility. He began to question the wisdom of God. He began to question the purposes of God. He began to question the plan of God. He even questioned the fairness of God. And that hostility turned to a vision of a greater God. In a sense of despair, God came and spoke to Job. And God didn't do anything to belittle Job. He simply enlarged himself. He showed Job who he was. He simply said, God is. And he showed him who God was. Job repented and was restored. And further down the line, there was evidence of growth as a result of the testing. He came to know a God who had framed the heavens and brought the universe into existence. Far greater God than he had ever known before. So what we've been dealing with the past few weeks is the sensitivity of the Spirit, so that when these tests come into our lives, we'll recognize them, and the little test pattern of our mind will say, this is a test. Not so we can write up brownie points and say, I had 12 tests this week. How many did you have? My tests were bigger than your tests this week, and I made a better grade than you did. I doubt it. I doubt if any of us passed. The point is that this is a test is designed to give us a vision and a concept of the fact that Jesus Christ wants our attention so he can minister to us. But more than that, last week we learned that the reason he wants these tests to come into our lives is not just so that we would say this is a test, but so that we would respond by seeing God as he really is. And you remember last week we realized the fact that it is not what God has or what God does or what God will do, but it is simply the fact that God is. That's all we need. And the greater our vision of who God is, the greater our excitement of the tests of life. In a time of disappointment, we simply need to realize that God is sovereign. In a time of loneliness, we need to recognize that God is love, perfect love. In a time of weakness, we need to recognize God is omnipotent. He is all power. In a time of rejection, we need to realize that God is omnipresent. He is there, whether we realize it or not. In a time when we are without discernment, we need to recognize that God is omniscient. He knows he is all things. He is wisdom. He's faithful. He is light. He is grace. He is mercy. No matter what the circumstance or the test, God is. And because God is, he is more than adequate. He is all we'll ever need. This morning we come to the seventh reason God tests his children. You say, I don't want any more. Well, all we're trying to do now is to learn why. The seventh reason God tests his children is to equip us for ministry. I'm going to read you this morning very slowly, I trust, which is hard for me. The second letter to the Corinthian church, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Now, verses 3 and 4 are one of our lot verses. You know, a lot verses are ones I use a lot. And that word lot means there's a lifetime of truth, L-O-T, wrapped up in that one verse. You could spend the rest of your life studying out, meditating on that one verse, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. But I'm going to read you this whole passage here in the Phillips paraphrase, first of all, and I want you to listen because it is the crux and the basis for the entire lesson this morning. Thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is... Now, you can underline that word, he is, if you have a Phillips translation. The word he is refers back to the whole concept we were dealing with last week. We can be thankful because God is. He is what? He is our Father, and he is the source of all mercy and comfort. He is mercy. He is comfort. He is the comforter. Now, this is the reason we're to be thankful, the second paragraph. For he gives us comfort in all our trials. Without exception. He gives us comfort in all of our trials. If there was a trial in your life this week that you did not experience the comfort of God in, it was simply because you were not available to God to receive it, because the Scripture says every one of our trials carries with it a package of comfort. God has gift-wrapped it, your name is on it, the circumstance is on it, he's mailed it to you, and if you don't open your mail, it's not really God's fault. In all of our trials, and here's the reason. You say, why does God comfort us like that? So that we, in turn, may be able to give the same sort of strong sympathy to others in their troubles that we receive from God. Okay, here's the reason for the comfort. He gives you a package, and you're not to put it on a shelf. Comfort, we're going to learn later, is a storageable item. It is a reusable commodity. God's comfort was given to us in a package, and it is to be used at a later time for a specific purpose. So what God has done is given us something that is to be recycled in the fellowship. So he says that we may in turn be able to give that same comfort, that same sympathy to others when they're having the same troubles. Indeed, Paul goes on to say, experience shows that the more we share in Christ's immeasurable suffering, the more we are able to give of his encouragement. Now, what that passage says basically is the more testing, the more testimony. That's where your testimony comes from. The more you're testing, the more your testimony. He says the experience shows the more we share in the Christ's sufferings, the more we are able to give of his encouragement. Because the more you suffer, the more encouragement you receive, and therefore the bigger box you have to unwrap and dole out to other people around you. Well, if that's the case, we need to get more excited about the testings we receive because we are being equipped for a greater ministry. Paul goes on to say, this means that if we experience trouble, it is for your comfort and spiritual protection. Paul says, God's not only teaching me, he's testing me so that I'll have something to give to you so you'll be blessed. So I can get doubly excited. He's growing me and he's helping you. For if we ourselves have been comforted, we know how to encourage you to endure patiently the same sort of troubles we ourselves endure. We're going to school, Paul said, and the class isn't called comfort. And we're learning to comfort by having to be comforted. He goes on to say, we are quite confident that if you have to suffer troubles as we have done, then like us, you will find the comfort and encouragement of God. Paul said he didn't just dole this out to Paul or to the apostles or to the disciples. Paul said this is a commodity available to every believer. So he goes on to say, We should like you, our brothers, to know something of the trouble we went through in Asia. Here's the way he begins his comfort. He begins to share the circumstances. He said, gang, it's been rough. We've really been through some hard times. And I want you to know about it because God's comforted us, and I want to share that comfort with you. Then, having shared the circumstances, he begins to share his heart. He said, at that time, we were completely overwhelmed, Paul said. The burden was more than we could bear. In fact, we told ourselves, this is the end. Ever felt like that this week? Paul did, and he shared his heart with the Corinthians. He said, we thought it was all over, thought the party was over. Yet we believe now that we had this sense of impending disaster so that we might learn to trust, not in ourselves, but in God who can raise the dead. God is life. Therefore, God can raise the dead. Therefore, God gave us the privilege of going through what seemed to be a disaster, Paul said. It was God who preserved us, and it is God who preserves us still. He created the need, what for? To create dependence. Paul ends up, we put our full trust in him, and he will keep us safe in the future. Here, you can cooperate by praying for us, so that the help that is given to us in answer to many prayers will mean that many will thank God for our preservation. You see how it works? He said, God has kept us in the past, therefore God will keep us in the future. Our hope is based on the experience of his blessing. But he said, the more of you that pray for me, the more of you will get the greater blessing when you see God work this continued miracle. So you'll be blessed, God will be glorified, and we'll be strengthened. That, he said, is the way the body of Christ works. He said, you're going to have to learn. So he shared his circumstances, he shared his heart, he shared the purpose, and then he shared his life message. In the King James translation, verses 3 and 4, the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our testings, so that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What he says is that what he does to us and for us is to equip us for what he wants to do through us and with us. The word who means God. The word comfort is the word paraklesis. It means one called alongside to aid, help, or encourage. So God calls us, comes alongside of us, every believer, in all our tests, in the midst of, while they're going on. Everyone, without exception, is what the word all means. The word our means personal. It's designed for each individual Christian. And the tests are the tribulations, the testings, the chastenings of God that we've been talking about the past few weeks. So it says God has decided to come alongside. He hasn't sent us into the valley alone. He said, I think I'll go with you because I've got a ministry to perform. So he goes alongside as the comforter in the midst of your tests for a reason. Now, what's the reason? The reason is that we may be able. The reason he does it is that we may be equipped to comfort, that is, to be called alongside, to aid or encourage them who are in any trouble. Every other Christian going through the same kind of trouble. How? Using the same comfort, this reusable item that we received from him. Paul says, you've passed through a test. You've been to class. You made a passing grade. Now I want you to teach the class. And if you refuse to do so, sin. It may be a class of one. maybe a class of two, maybe a class of three over a period of 5 years. But I have people I want you to teach, he said, or the comforts you've received will grow rancid like the manna in the wilderness. It's a part of your training for the ministry. Now, some of you here this morning have been involved in God's training school in Comfort Theological Seminary. You may have recently graduated Financial Failures 106. You may have just received a passing grade in the Mystery of Marriage 212. You may have struggled through the Essence of Employment 263. Or you may have enjoyed Tragedy and Triumph 310. Whatever it is, everyone in this room this morning has been tested and comforted and encouraged by God, either recently or in your Christian experience. Now, what I want to ask you to do this morning is more practical than theological. I'm going to ask you to think this morning about what would happen if this part of the body of Christ, just you, learned to function properly in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Have you ever realized what would happen? Well, it would be like it said in Ephesians, that the whole body, knit together, ligaments and joints, would begin to work together to build up the whole of the body so that it would be strong and filled with power. How many of you here within the last 2 months have said to yourself or someone else, "Well, I don't have a ministry"? That's not true. Maybe you don't minister, but it's not because you don't have a ministry. If you've ever been tested and received comfort, you have a ministry. Let me ask you this morning, I'm going to go through just a list of ministries that God has created in the body. And I'm going to ask you just to make note if you've ever experienced or been through any of these tests, and if so, if God may have been equipping you to minister this comfort to somebody else. You say, "Well, I just haven't been through any super deals in my life, and I failed the ones I've been through." Well, God hasn't failed them, and you've been through more than you give yourself credit for. Let me just ask you to start with, have you ever been lonely or depressed? Have you ever been comforted by the Spirit of God or the Word of God or the people of God in the midst of that depression or discouragement? You may be a housewife that's experienced deep loneliness, and God has comforted you in the midst of that loneliness. Could I share something with you? There are women, housewives, that are experiencing deep loneliness, and they need someone to comfort them. They need encouragement. They need love. They need another woman who has been through it and received the comfort of God to call up and say, "I'd like to spend some time with you." You say, "Well, I'm not trained in the seminary. I've never discipled anybody, etc., etc." It's great. You know God, and you've experienced His comfort, and you've been trained in God's comfort seminary to pass it on to someone else. Maybe you say, "Well, I can't easily make friendships, but I went through a time when God ministered to me in that area, and people came to me and made friends with me, and it was a real comfort, and God, it just really meant a lot to me." Well, God was equipping you then to go out and make friends with other people and do the same thing in their lives He did in yours. Maybe you're a lonely church member. Somebody that's been in a situation where it just seemed like nobody cared. And you were lonely, and God began to minister to your heart. Now there are other lonely church members all around you, and your comfort that you receive from God is turning rancid if you don't find them and pass on the comfort you received. You were trained by God to pass on comfort in place of loneliness. Now, you may be one that's receiving loneliness or in the midst of loneliness, and you want that kind of comfort. I believe the body of Christ, to function as it should be a need-meeting group, so that there ought to be some kind of an underground clearing bureau or something, so that those of you who have a need and those of you who have passed through that need in the past can meet together and have fellowship together and be strengthened. That's the way the body works. You can call it what you will. You can call it a ministry core, or you can call it just the body of Christ at work, but this is the body of Christ. Some of you may have been through a divorce or a bad marriage, and you may be kind of hiding in the background saying, "Well, God can't use me." There are those who have passed through or are passing through the same problem, and they need you desperately. They need to know how to respond. They need to know they're loved. They need the same kind of comfort you received when you passed through the same test. You need to come out of the woodwork and become available to them. They need you. And you've been equipped. You were trained in the seminary of experience. You say, I don't know why God let that experience pass through my life. Well, here's one reason. He was equipping you to minister to other people. Maybe you've been through a serious illness or physical affliction. And you say, well, I don't ever want to go through that again. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But you did. And that equipped you to minister to the needs of people who are afflicted with serious affliction. You may have expected to die. You may have had to deal with the frustrations of fear and anger and weakness, the needs of your loved ones. You may say, boy, it was the toughest time in my life. But when it was over, God gave me such comfort. And in the midst of it, God gave me such friendships. And I learned so much about the person of God in the midst of it. Let me tell you something. There are people that right now are experiencing this kind of problem. Serious illness. And they need someone who has passed through the flood to remind them and encourage them that God's boots are waterproof. And that his umbrella is leak-proof. And that he sustains and encourages and keeps. And you and I, having passed through that fire, if we're not willing to become vessels to put out the fire for someone else, are selfish. And we've missed the blessing of being usable. Maybe you're the parent, or have been the parent, of a rebellious teenager. They can read all the books and hear all the tapes, but you know they need to talk to somebody eyeball to eyeball. It's been there. It said, you know, you're not alone. Many, many, many have passed through this fire, and many, many, many will in the future, but let me tell you what God does in the midst of it. And let me tell you how he does it, and let me help you go through it. Maybe some of you here this morning have had a bad job experience. Maybe you were misunderstood, misused, underpaid, overworked, but eventually spiritually blessed. And you saw the hand of God upon it all when it was all over, but in the midst of it, you hated every minute of it. Let me tell you something. I could give you the names of people in this room this morning that are going through the same problem right now. They're struggling. They're weeping. Their families are struggling. And they don't know what to do about it. Some of you are ready to help them if you'll be available. Maybe you've been under financial ruin or pressure. Maybe you had your own personal crash. Maybe you experienced your own personal depression. And you went through a tough time financially, and you had to crawl back on top, and you had to honor the principles of God, and you had to wait on God, and you had to struggle for a while, and you had to watch him put all the pieces back together again. But having passed through it now, let me tell you, there's some people right here this morning going through the same thing. And they're not sure they're going to make it. They need some encouragement. That's why God tested you. That's why God brought you through that. One great reason, yes, he wanted to humble you. He wanted to teach you. He wanted to give you the mind of Christ. He wanted to equip you to meet the needs of the rest of the group. He wants to develop a class of counselors, and any counselor is best in an area he's experienced. And there are hundreds of counselors in this church. Maybe they're equipped primarily to counsel in one area they've passed through, but they are equipped. Maybe you've been through an unequal yoking experience. Perhaps it was in business or maybe in a marriage. And you've learned the principles from it. And you'd like to share those principles with someone else that's struggling in the same area. Maybe you've been through the death or tragedy affecting a loved one. And there are others who just have or maybe will in the future have to pass through that same fire. They need you. You can pass out all the pious phrases and cliches you want, but someone who's been there has love, comfort, encouragement, and the real thing to pass out. They need you. Maybe you have a quest for a deeper spiritual walk, and maybe in the past, rather, you had that quest, and God met that need and filled you with his Spirit and gave you encouragement and comfort. There are others here in this class this morning that are struggling with that same battle. They want a deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ. They need you. Maybe you have a husband in the ministry, maybe there are pressures and problems that are affiliated with that, not just in the vocational ministry, but in the lay ministry. You're equipped, if you've passed through that, to encourage other wives that are going through the same thing and help them to understand and relate properly. Maybe you've been through a marriage crisis. Some of us have. Some of you have. Most of us have, of one form or another, some little ones, some big ones. But everybody passes through them, and they need the comfort and encouragement of someone a little older that can show them, hey, when it's over, you'll have learned. God will see you through it. Discipleship relationships, child raising. There's some people in here who have reared families and have been from the cradle to the teen years and on. And the "and on" is the best part. And they have seen the victories that come out of the tests, and they know what God can do. And here are some others in this group struggling at different levels, meeting the needs of their children. They need you. Are you going to put it in a bushel and hide it? The comfort God gave you, the lessons God taught you? Some of you here this morning have dealt with emotional illness in the past. You've struggled through deep times of depression, deep emotional problems. Maybe had a nervous breakdown. Maybe experienced serious emotional crisis. And God met your needs, and God proved himself adequate, maybe however long it may have taken. And now you have something to give, because there are others right here that are experiencing the same kinds of problems. They need you. And the Lord needs you to be available to meet their needs. Maybe you had problem finding the will of God, and then finally God gave you some input and some principles and some wisdom, and you were able to make wise decisions. And there are people here in this class this morning and this week who have struggled against doors that didn't open and doors that did open, and want to know, do I go through them, and is this the will of God? And they need you. Maybe you were involved in drugs or alcohol. There are people in this church, in this community, even in this class, struggling with the same problems today and struggling to minister to people with the same problems. Maybe you were involved with a cult or the occult. Maybe you went through some terrible crises in the midst of it, and God proved himself to be more than faithful. There are others wrestling with the same problem. They need you. Maybe a time of personal failure, maybe a self-image problem that you couldn't overcome, and God gave you the grace to do it, and now you need to pass on that ministry. What I'm saying to you this morning is that every test you've passed through was for a purpose. It was to equip you to minister to the saints. And believe it or not, these are the saints. Now, granted, we don't look like it, but in the eyes of God, we're his children, and we need what he gave you. Now you're going to bundle it up, put it under the counter, and hope you never need to use it. Or you're going to unwrap it, dump it on the table, and call on the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You've given me a whole lifetime of comfort. Now equip me to go out and spread it around. And very quickly this morning, I'm going to ask you to think about two things. Number one, prepare for a ministry. And number two, share your life. Because this is one of the reasons God's been testing you. And you're accountable in every area you've been tested according to this passage to share the comfort. First of all, I encourage you this week to accept your calling. Meditate on this passage and accept as one of the reasons for your past testings that you are being equipped to minister, and quit fighting it. Secondly, I ask you to assess your own message this week. Take a piece of paper and make a list. Use the one I gave you and add a couple of hundred more to it. Make a list of the tests God's put you through, the areas of your life that God has tested, and the things that he has been equipping you thereby to pass on. That's what the body of Christ is all about. Then on that list, write down some of these things. One, how did God minister to you? Did he use people, the word? Was it continuous? Was it quick? Was it slow? How did God meet the need of your life? Make a little notebook of comfort in each of these areas, a little pamphlet or something, and write down the way God ministered to you. Now, he may not minister to that other person in exactly the same way, but you had a point of reference to give testimony from. Maybe it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but God used you and he ministered to you. Now he wants to use you. Secondly, what scriptures helped you? Write them down. Maybe you were in the midst of despair over a death, in the midst of despair over a marriage problem, in the midst of despair over a job problem, and God gave you a verse. You asked for a verse and a friend or from the Word, you received a verse. Write that down. Because God wants to equip you to comfort others, and that person's going to come to you, or God's going to lead you to that person, and you need to have to be able to share with them the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are also comforted of God. What people or materials helped? I would encourage every one of you here this morning that's been through a test and received help to make a list of the books or messages or tapes that God might have used in your life or that you've heard since, and get an extra copy of each one. And put them in a little file, because God's going to send somebody to you in the next few weeks. Mark my word. He's going to send somebody to you in the next few weeks. He's going to test you in this area. And he'll send somebody to you that's going through the same thing you went through, and you need to have that which to comfort them that you receive. Make a list of what principles apply. And make a list of the frustrations you experienced. You see, the one thing somebody needs comfort doesn't need is a bunch of cardboard Christians with pious expressions and says, God is love. Everything will be all right. Praise the Lord. That's not real. What they need is to know, hey, I went through the same thing and it was tough. And I hurt. And it took so long. And I thought I wasn't going to make it. But you know, all the toughness and all the time turned into blessing and joy. And let me tell you how it happened. But boy, it was rough. Be real. Be honest. But make a list of the frustrations you experienced and be willing to share them. And then lastly, what qualities of God changed your perspective? We're almost out of time, so let me go on to the third part. Begin to pray for people. I plead with you this morning. Begin this week to pray that God will send you people that need the comfort he's given you. I don't care if it involves a marriage problem or involves a financial problem or involves just a personal problem. God's been ministering in your life, and you're going to bottle up that ministry and you're going to let it turn rancid if you don't turn it loose. And what I'm going to encourage you to do this morning is have the courage to get down on your knees this afternoon as couples, as individuals, and say, Lord, you've been a blessing to me. You've poured yourself into me in this area, in this area, in this area. Hereby I make myself available to you. Do with me whatever you want. I want to be available to pass on whatever you've given me. It's not me, it's you in me, but I want to be used. And Lord, begin to pray then for people that you know have those problems. That's part of your ministry. You can pray for them with so much more power than someone that's never been there. And then you begin to pray that God will send you or take you to people that need you. Fourthly, become available and sensitive. We've all been through this. Lord, use me. Phone rings. Oh, no, I don't want to talk to her. So-and-so needs to come over and talk. Oh. You get a letter in the mail. Oh, good grief, I don't have time to answer a letter. Oh, Lord, make me usable. What hypocrites we are. How usable we'll become will depend upon our first response to the first time God tries to use us. And we don't need to ask God to drop these people in our laps either. Once the Spirit of God convicts us and concerns us, we need to ask him to give us sensitive eyes, and if need be, when we see a need, go to them. If people hadn't come to us, so many of us would still be struggling. And then, having prepared for a ministry, be willing to share your message. Paul was. He shared the message, he shared the comfort, he shared God's perspective, and he was willing to reflect honest love. There are too many takers in the Christian game of life. And God has trusted and tested each one of us in different areas. And he's comforted us in the middle of those tests. And I need to remind you in closing that one of the reasons he tested you was to equip you to comfort somebody else. He wanted to develop in you a ministry. Now let me ask you a question in closing. What's it going to take for you to become usable? Are you going to have to go through the course again? Are you going to have to pass through the same fire to wake up? Or is God going to have your attention this morning as a result of His Word? And are you going to then become accountable and willing to become available to meet the needs of the rest of the body of Christ? Is it going to take another test and more comfort? Or are you ready to enter the ministry? Some of you are already in the ministry in a big way. Some of you are waiting in the wings and feel unqualified. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you've ever been tested, you're qualified. And I would encourage you this morning, take 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and memorize it and meditate on it in the weeks to come. You might want to get the Phillips paraphrase and memorize it in that. Begin to reconstruct God's ministry in your life. Begin to pray that He'll use you and begin to make yourself available. You can look back and say that was a test, but God is. But because you were tested and because God is, now you are equipped for the comfort of God to spread. And if it just began to work in this class, what a transformation there would be in the lives of the Christian community. The God of all comfort comforted us in all of our testings to equip us to comfort those who are going through the same trouble, using the same comfort that we ourselves received of God. Let's go into ministry for God's glory. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the challenge that the Word offers. And our Father, we realize that we can't do it. We in of ourselves can do nothing, but You can. And You've stored up Your comfort and Your blessing in each of our lives in different areas for a purpose. And Father, in many cases, we've thwarted that purpose. Father, there are people here this morning with needs so deep, with hurts so heavy, with weariness, with weeping. And Father, there's so many of the rest of us that just go about our separate ways pretending the rest of the body doesn't exist. And Father, some of us have passed through the same fire and the same flood they're going through now. Father, give us the grace this week to unwrap the comforts You've given us and mail it out and hand it out and use it. We love You, Lord. Thank You for being so available to meet every need we'll ever have. Now make us available. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message by Russell Kelfer, founder and director of Discipleship Tape Ministries of San Antonio, Texas. Feel free to contact us on the World Wide Web at www.dtm.org. That's dtm.org. Or you may write to us at the following address: Discipleship Tape Ministries, 10602 Moss Bank, San Antonio, Texas, and the zip is 78230. Well, thank you for listening. We pray God's richest blessing may be yours as He continues to live His life in you.